Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello and welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss. I'm your host, Kim Wardlow, and we're continuing on. We're in episode 6 of our holiday series for this year. And I just want to thank everyone who donated during Colorado Gives Day. We really appreciate that, and that helps us to continue to provide quality programming for all of you, as well as some of the other offerings with our virtual book clubs and peer support group and offering white canes to folks. So thank you so much for donating. We appreciate that. We are joined again by Bill Lundgren. He was with us a few weeks ago talking about family gatherings. And this week, we are talking to him about staying connected with loved ones. And there's lots of components to that, trying to stay connected, sometimes even if you're near each other physically and geographically, but certainly if you're at a distance, trying to stay connected with loved ones. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be back.
I think one of the things we were going to look at is just in terms of if a person has vision loss, if that impacts staying connected with their loved ones around the holidays. I think often we go about living our lives all year, and then during the holidays, we tend to think about trying to connect or reconnect with loved ones. And maybe if there's some barriers to doing that, especially related to vision loss, if that makes communication and staying right. connected more difficult.
Well, I think part of it is connecting, as you say, with people out of our usual pattern of operating. And that is, in other words, somebody who lives next door or lives in the same city is one thing. It's connected, being connected with people. I have a whole list. I do a Christmas letter every year, and people tell me they look forward to it. Which is kind of nice. And there's some other people on that list. That's the only time we connect. And we promise to talk on the telephone or whatever. But some of those people slip out of our view after the Christmas letter has gone out. Mm-hmm. Or they're the kind of people who don't themselves pick up the phone and call us.
Right.
And that's kind of a, like, am I losing them because of, and then you can pick anything about yourself that you're afraid has caused them to back away from you. And that's the kind of negative thinking that we can get into, particularly around our vision loss. Oh, they're not connecting with me because I can't see the way I used to be able to, or whatever, and they just feel uncomfortable. And that may be the case. And there's really a couple options that we have. One is we just keep, if we think of ourselves in the center of a circle, and around us within the circle of ring number one are people that we see frequently and we have lots of interaction with. And then as we go into additional circles beyond that, their connection to us is more and more distant, and we have to kind of accept, okay, some of these people I will only have contact with at Christmas time, and we'll send each other cards and say, this year we're going to get together. And we don't. But you see, it becomes imperative upon us. And unfortunately, what I'm saying, being a person with a vision loss, means you have to do a lot of work. And that work is to pick up the phone or do an email or whatever to keep that connection unless you're not getting anything back. Mm-hmm. And I have people who, you know, I send them, I contact them, whatever, but I don't get a return on that investment, in which case I can move them to the Christmas letter category. Mm-hmm. Or I can say, if I'm getting a return, if I talk to them and we talk about getting together for dinner or whatever, and this is one of the tough parts. If we're not inclined to be initiators, it means we have to change our behavior if you want to hold on to these people. Because people, you know, other people may be very hesitant to call us because they don't know what they're supposed to do. Or they mm-hmm. feel that, if I have close contact with Bill Lundgren, I'm going to be having to do a lot of work to take care of Bill Lundgren. And we have to dissuade them from that idea that just because we're friends doesn't mean they are, and we were friends before the vision loss, doesn't mean you have more work to do now that I have vision loss. But they have to see us in action. They have to see us confident and comfortable with our vision loss and comfortable in asking, when do we need assistance? And I've said many times in my program, I had a friend of mine who confronted me as I was losing my vision because I wouldn't ask for help at all. I would trip over a fire hydrant that I didn't know was there or bump into mm-hmm. people. And my friend said, you know how good you feel when you help somebody. How dare you deny me the opportunity to have that good feeling that I would get from helping you. And that was, you know, that changed my attitude. Mm-hmm. And I hope that sharing that with people will change the attitude. But again, you have to set the boundaries as to what help you are comfortable receiving and mm-hmm. maybe encourage people to let you know if they're feeling overwhelmed or uncomfortable in helping us and talk about it. You know, if we're really friends, we're loved ones, we have to be willing to take the risk to be open about what it is that we need and what the other person is comfortable doing. Because the other person is, one of their discomforts is probably, I'm going to make a mistake and I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But it hurts us even more if they don't help us.
Right. And just needing
to make
that.
What are your thoughts?
I'm thinking just needing to make that extra effort, especially initially, if a person hasn't, if you haven't really seen someone since you've lost your vision and they're unsure, just to really be communicating with them of what you need and what you don't need, and being helpful, and just to be able to maintain relationships. That can be so important to do that. And so often now we see, we're seeing things where folks are, it's just all on Facebook or all not necessarily interacting, you know, in person, or even maybe in person is not always possible, but even on the telephone, to be able to, you know, to build relationships. So maintaining them and building relationships and deciding who might be on that once a year contact list and who you might want to develop, you know, deeper relationships with can be important right. to trying to make those distinctions.
Well, I'm thinking particularly of older people as they get macular degeneration. Maybe they can't drive anymore, which is a biggie for people. They get to the point they can't drive. Then they feel very, very helpless. They feel alone. And even worse, they don't understand that other people will be delighted to help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our own thinking and saying, look, nobody wants to be with somebody who can't drive anymore or somebody who, you know, we tell ourselves things that create a barrier with other people. And this is very tough. I can say this very easily. You can do this, this, and this, but I know how difficult it is for us to do it. But to talk to that person you haven't seen for a while and check in with them and say, you know, as my are you concerned about my vision loss and how what it would mean in terms of our relationship? I mean, that's being very blunt. But mm-hmm. sometimes we have to, if we care enough about the relationship, we have to be blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And because if we don't, we're going to lose the relationship anyway. But
right.
if we talk about that elephant in the room, then maybe you have a chance of building a new relationship with that person. But again, I think one of the things I hate about blindness is it forces me to be the one who has to do some work.
Yeah, that seems unfair.
In the sense that, it is unfair. I have to be, and someone who has been more of an introvert suddenly has to be more of an extrovert and say, okay, and also the kind of nice guy doesn't say anything that would ruffle any feathers. I have to ruffle some feathers and say, okay, look, we haven't talked for a while. Can we have dinner together? Okay, I've got to initiate if I care about that relationship. If the person isn't doing it, I better find out whether the person wants the relationship. Because if the person doesn't, I'm not going to put out, it's not worth putting out the energy to worry about it. And sometimes we have to just, in very general ways, hey, we haven't seen each other for a while. Is there a possibility we could do this? And here, you know, here's what I suggest. And then you suggest something that's easy for both of you to do and mm-hmm. see how that goes. But the question mm-hmm. then is to take a look, at the names of people that you haven't seen for a while and you want to keep that relationship going. Then you decide, okay, what do you think is going to be the best way to get something going? Is it the Christmas letter? Is it the just a telephone call? Hey, how are you doing? Or an email? Facebook, you know, I saw you on, you were doing XYZ. How about if we do a mountain hike or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time I say that, I also say you have to be careful because you don't want to get overboard trying to make stuff happen.
Right.
A friend of mine who's coming in, she's never been to Denver before, and I felt like, you know, and I had been with her in her city, but I said, oh, is she going to enjoy, you know, being with me in Denver? What do I have to do to make this enjoyable? And I was getting all nutsy about it. And when she came there and, you know, I calmed down, I realized I didn't have to do all that work I was doing. So I'm speaking from experience.
Mm-hmm.
She's perfectly easy to be with. We did a lot of things that I hadn't expected we would do. She enjoyed it. I enjoyed her enjoyment, and enjoyed having her with me. It was just I was making myself all nutsy beforehand. And that's the hard part, is to say, okay, how much do I need to do? How much does that other person need to do? And for a lot of us, we're just not used to that kind of a situation. That makes sense?
Yeah, I think that can be tricky. If somebody lives far away and they're coming to visit you, and you want to see them and have a chance to talk to them in person, but you also feel like you need to entertain them to a certain extent,
right,
or if they
right.
haven't come to visit you before, like, oh, well, should I take them, you know, to see this site, or, oh, they really like gardening.
Right.
Should we go to the botanic gardens, and trying to balance
right.
that out, and maybe even talking to the person ahead of time, saying how much do you
yeah,
want
ahead of time. Right, right.
to do. I'm just thinking of a time when my dad and I went to visit cousins in Scotland, and I had been there before, but he hadn't. And I thought, oh, well, yes, we need to see all these people we want to see, but he has never been here. So shouldn't he, you know, see all these different sites? And I remember being in Edinburgh, and we toured the castle, and he said, you know, that was nice. And now I've toured a castle, and I don't really need to see another one. I really just want to visit people. And so just knowing,
right.
you know, what that person wants to do. Do they just want to spend time, you know, watching a movie together, or time chatting over coffee, or
exactly.
other things they'd like to see where you live?
Right. And that's what I had forgotten. And I learned that, you know, in this trip. Oh, you know, we just stayed home one night,
mm-hmm.
and we just talked, and, you know, I didn't have to entertain her, but I, you know, I'd gotten a little out of practice in entertaining, and I just have to say, okay, the person that you're with, the loved one that you're with, has to do some of the work, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been talking about what you have to do, because you're the listener is getting some ideas, but you have to encourage them to do some work, too, and tell you what they would like. And that's
yeah.
very hard, because we're supposed to be mind readers.
I know, but it is super helpful. I know the last time I went to see my cousins down in Austin, and my cousin asked me, she said, well, we've done different things when you've come. What do you want to do this time? What do you want to see? And I did tell her, I said, well, really, I'm just coming for a few days. I just want to hang out with the three of you for a few days. And we
right,
can, you know,
right.
there might be some things we can do. We could go to the art museum if there's like a special exhibit you want to see. But really, I'm just coming to spend time with you all. And we don't have to do a lot of special
you.
Things.
And so, I just want to spend time with you and not mm-hmm. Things that distract from our mm-hmm. being with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, we have to kind of get used to allowing other people to visit, to carry some of the burden and letting us know what they need, what they want.
And Bill, how do you see technology and all the things we have available to us now helping or putting up barriers to being able to stay in touch with our friends and loved ones, all the different apps and Facebook
yeah.
and audio, you know, audio calls and all the, or video calls and all those different things?
It doesn't take that long to send an email to somebody. Say, hey, I'm thinking about you. What takes a long time is my dealing with the spelling, but you know, but it just a quick email, you know, thinking about you, and they don't need a lot. You know, our friends surprisingly don't need as much as we think they do. But if we show our interest, and you know, sometimes we think we have to have people over for dinner. No, we don't. We can go get a cup of coffee at the local coffee bar. And we don't, and because it's really us that they want to be with, not the things. And that's what I, sometimes when I'm in my, I'm not worth anything mood, you know, I forget. They want to be with me. That's why they're coming. And I'm good enough as I am. But sometimes we get some feeling of insecurity, particularly if we're not used to entertaining, mm-hmm. get some insecurity. We have to show them a good time, and we have to take them places and go to the theater and yada, 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 yada. And then we're exhausted at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is deciding when we look at the name of that person or think about that person, what kind of level of interaction do we want with that person? Because we can't be bosom buddies with everybody in the United States.
Right.
Let alone other countries. We have to say, okay, this person is wonderful to be with. And you know, I want to keep in contact with this. This other person is more a social contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep in contact, but we won't really, unless the person wants to, we won't be able to spend much time together. And that's okay. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
we're not
and just,
making a judgment about them.
Mm-hmm. No. And sometimes relationships change over the years as well. And not
Absolutely.
Necessarily because you've had a falling out or something bad
right,
or negative,
right.
but just as people's lives change, sometimes that changes, you know.
Change, yeah, yeah.
Your relationships.
And they just drift away in a sense. And we can't do, we can try a little bit to see if it's, you know, if it's a permanent thing. But if not, we can appreciate that they were once in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And that's all. They were meant to be there. You know, some of the more spiritual types would say that person was there to be there for us for a reason for a short period of time. And that's, you know, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's okay. To be able
and
to
that's
just
okay. exactly.
let that go if that seems to be the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. then you have the mm-hmm. folks you hang on to for years and years,
yeah.
maybe all your life. People have friends that were friends in kindergarten and they're still friends and they're
exactly.
you know, 70 or whatever.
Yeah,
you can have long-term relationships as well. And I'm just thinking, I tend to be one of those people that always feels like, oh, well, I have to, if I'm going to contact the person, I need to provide news. I think that comes from being a kid and my mom, you know, after the holidays, sending mm-hmm. thank you notes. Well, don't just say thank you. Tell them about what you've been doing and things. And I still kind of carry that. But I think you're right. Sometimes just sending, whether it's an email or a text message, just saying, oh, I was thinking of you today, can be really meaningful and help you stay connected, even if you don't have time to say much about what's happening in your life.
They'll express gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think we have to be comfortable with different levels of friendship and say, okay, this person I'll, you know, be in contact periodically, or this person is my bosom buddy. I haven't heard from him or her for a week. I better find out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way friendships are.
Mm-hmm. They are. And even kind of business contacts and things, you know, sometimes you see people around the holidays, just in different business types of mm-hmm. gatherings as well that you don't always see, but that's a different level of relationship too.
Exactly, exactly. And we don't have to act like they're bosom buddies. We have to, you know, be approachable. Some of my business contacts have become very close friends, but there's a process that happens, and then you discover, oh, you know, we're contacting each other more and more, and contacting each other in terms of on a personal level rather than a business level. And I feel mm-hmm. great about that. And then it goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's one of the things we have to measure, it's helpful to measure. Is this person interacting with me on a personal level? In other words, we're talking personal stuff on each side, which means it's somebody who's a friend, who's a real friend, as opposed mm-hmm. to talking superficial politics or whatever it is. And then that may, you know, do they want to talk more personal? And there's what I've done with clients that talk about levels of intimacy. And the levels of intimacy determine really how close we are to people. And I mean verbal intimacy. You go to a cocktail party and everybody stands there and watching what's going on and you acknowledge that somebody is there. That's one level. The other level is when you may talk about what's going on in the party and then talk about how difficult it was to get there or something on a more personal level. And they are going to go to that level and talk to you in that level. That's a different story. And then if perhaps you talk about your family history and they talk about their family history, then the intimacy is getting deeper and deeper. You're revealing a little of yourself and the person is matching you
mm-hmm.
and allowing you to hear that level of experience. And then the ultimate, of course, is when two people care enough about each other that they're willing to share with each other how they feel about the other. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, becoming lovers. I mean just saying, you know, boy, you're a wonderful friend. I really am grateful for you, the things that you do. And you say the same thing to that person. Then you've reached, you know, that real verbal intimacy where you feel safe to share something that you might not share with other people. And that's how you can kind of measure what kind of level do I have with this individual. And I always give this example. I love my mother, but when I start talking feeling, she would start talking about a book she read.
Mm.
And I used to get very angry because I wanted a closer relationship with her, but she was not capable of it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, I went with where she was and didn't demand something of her that she was not able at her age and so forth to give.
Mm-hmm.
But I could get that from other people. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that's all those things are important as we're encountering people that we may not encounter that often during the holidays and trying to make those decisions and thinking about that, because mm-hmm. it is easy just to see someone and say, yeah, we'll stay in touch and then have it not happen. But really considering which of these people do I really want to stay in contact with and you know, build a deeper relationship with. And acknowledging, mm-hmm. as you said with your mother, acknowledging when sometimes maybe that person just isn't able to
maintain
a relationship
mm-hmm.
at a level, you know, a friendship, even as you said, not necessarily anything romantic, but just a friendship or a family relationship as deeply as you would like.
But again, it's a decision that you make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And realizing that you don't have to just leave that to chance to see if the person contacts you or if you happen to run into them again, but you can choose to pursue those friendships and family relationships if you want mm-hmm. to strengthen those. Well, Bill, I think this is really important information for this time of year as we do kind of encounter people that maybe we don't see every day in our lives and thinking about those relationships that we have and the ones that we'd like to build and maybe some of the ones that it's time to let go of as well. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us.
My pleasure. Really, I'm always enjoying having an interview with you.
Well, thanks, Bill. And Bill is the host of After Sight's Blind Sight podcast, so you may want to tune into that as well. And again, I just want to thank everyone for your support during Colorado Gives Day and your generosity. We're really grateful for that support, and we couldn't do everything we do without that. So thank you so much. We still have a couple more episodes to come in our holiday series, including looking forward into next year and maybe setting some of those goals as well. So those are things that will be coming up. But thank you for joining us today for Navigating Life with Vision Loss. And we hope this information has helped you as you're navigating your own life.